The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to a Wednesday, everybody. I'm Nicole Sandler, as always, coming to you live here at NicoleSandler.com on the Progressive Voices Network. We're also live on Verdant Square Radio, on AirProgressive.org, I believe, on Netroots Radio, and a few other places. And some stations have us on a delay. Of course, we also stream video to YouTube, Periscope, Facebook Live, Twitch, and something else that I don't know the name of because Paul set us up there and I don't know what it is. But we're there. We're everywhere. And then, of course, the show is always available as a podcast in the video archives. And whoever you listen or watch, I thank you for doing so. We've got a great show for you today. Every day, it seems, since he took office 2 weeks ago today, we're 14 days into the Biden presidency. And that means 2 weeks past Donald Trump, which, after all, that's what it's all about. But anyway, it seems that every day President Biden has been signing more executive orders or, you know, and it's like a different theme each day, if you will. On the first day that he took office, he did some of the first day things that he promised he would do, including get the U.S. back into the Paris Climate Accord. What else? A few other things that he said he was going to do on day one. He did. Stopping the Keystone XL pipeline, I think, was one of the things he did on day one. But the climate day was 1 week ago today when he did some other things. He did... He signed an executive order initiating a new climate change plan, which is one of the things that the Paris Climate Accord calls for. So he's already doing, I was going to say, what's required of us. Although under this Paris Climate Accord, nothing is really required because there's no enforcement element to it. It's more or less a volunteer thing. Now, every nation on the planet, except for, if I remember correctly, two or three, we were one of them during the Trump years, it has signed on to this. So I think most nations are going to try to do something because they realize the seriousness of what we're up against. But anyway, we will talk with our guest today. She is the founder and creator of the Environmental Coffee House, Sandy Shellis. I think I pronounced her name wrong the other day. Will be joining us in a little while. She does her show on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere, and it's grown. We'll find out all about that and talk about what the Biden administration has put into place when it comes to dealing with the climate. The people that he's appointed, as everyone from Interior Secretary to Energy Secretary to his new special climate envoys and special, what did he name? Gina McCarthy. The first time ever, what is her title? She's the first White House national climate advisor. Okay, so there, obviously he's taking climate change seriously, which is a big deal because the last 4 years have really set us back. So we'll get into all of that today in a little while. Of course, there's news happening. A little while ago, I believe in the House, I had the YouTube page up and then they hadn't started, but it looked like there was a hearing on Marjorie Taylor Greene and her committee assignments. Because what happened last night, we had heard that there was a meeting, you know, how Kevin McCarthy, who is the minority leader in the House, who wants to be Speaker of the House very badly, he's the guy who just last week said that Donald Trump must take responsibility for the insurrection at the Capitol because he provoked it. I mean, he said it in so many words. Of course, I didn't pull that bit of audio. I can get it in a few minutes. But you've heard it. I've played it before. So he said that, and then he did a complete about face and went down to here it is. Here's the clip, I think. Here we go. I can play it for you here.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump.
You think?
Accept his share of responsibility, quell the brewing unrest, and ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
Yeah, so just like it seemed like moments after that, it was a few days, but it seems like a heartbeat. After that, Kevin McCarthy's on the plane heading down here, well, actually a little bit north of here to Palm Beach, Florida, to kiss Donald Trump's ass and say, I beg your forgiveness. I know I was wrong. I'm sorry. We need you. It's really the relationship there is really abusive and sickening, but that's besides the point. Kevin McCarthy knows that he's got a Marjorie Taylor Greene problem. And so last night, you know, he had said, I'll talk to her. And it was like, yeah, what are you going to do? Tell her just, you know, chill a little bit. Keep it on the down low. You're doing great. You know, Donald loves you, so you're good. But yeah, you know, just tone it down just a little bit because we're taking a lot of heat. I can imagine. But now, the pressure is really on him because the Democrats who control the House said she cannot serve on these committees. You need to do something about her. So last night they met and then they had to break for a vote or something. And then they came back and then the committee showed up, the committee who deals with who sits on what committee. So there's a special committee for that. And they showed up and we didn't hear anything last night. Well, today, around noon, Kevin McCarthy had a private phone call with House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer. And Kevin McCarthy, I guess, made an offer. His proposal was that they'd remove QAnon Marjorie from one of her two committee posts, that they'll just remove her from the Help Committee, the Health, Education, Labor and Pension Committee. But that maybe they'd give her another committee assignment. And Steny Hoyer said, no, no, no. So I guess this was McCarthy's last ditch effort to avoid a floor vote that would force the Republicans to go on the record about her. Because if Kevin McCarthy doesn't do anything, they will put it to a vote. And I think the vote is scheduled on Thursday to boot her from these committees. So, reportedly, McCarthy insisted that if Democrats remove Green from the Education Committee, Republicans would want to put her on another committee. No wonder Steny Hoyer said no. So now they had a debate, or it might still be going on in the House over this issue, because before they have a vote, they have to debate it. So that's going on. In the meantime, it seems like all we hear about is Marjorie Taylor Greene. So it's no wonder. No wonder at all that one of our favorite song parodyists, how do you like that for a big word, Randy Rainbow, has a new song. I think we need to hear it. Okay, Randy, take it away. Sing for us, please.
Hey, friends.
I've got a question for you. Are they trying to terrorize our mindset? The gangs are holding them back.
What's happening in D.C.?
It beats the shit out of me.
Nuts filling the GOP. What's such nuts? Marjorie Taylor Greene, seldom has a clip.
It's not white people.
While the schmoes happily ride her check.
Please.
Turner pizza set.
Hugh is a patriot.
What the fuck? Marjorie Taylor Greene, are you going through what the fuck? Greasy slides, Jewish lasers in space. She's deep in hot water, 'cause she hasn't got a brain.
We're sick and tired of the corruption.
She's like a Fox News buzzword-a-thon, squatting victims and pushing QAnon.
Barbara, it says.
Q is a patriot.
And you is an idiot.
Q is a patriot and you is an idiot. Yeah, Randy Rainbow. It just does brilliant work. I got to tell you, I got a bunch of stuff today. I'm not going to be able to get it all in because there's so much here. Let me just for a moment. Progressive Voices is in commercials. Let me tell you this. You know, I live in Florida. And in Florida here, the one of our big supermarket chains is called Publix. And probably, you know, they're in the South. They're in Alabama, in Florida, maybe Georgia. And they are the biggest grocery store chain down here. And the thing about Publix is they've always been a good store. The stores are nice. They look nice. They are, it's a company-owned store, except the family of the founder, a guy named Jenkins, who's long gone now, they still have family stock. So Jenkins' daughters, I think there are two of them, they're both older women, and they both have contributed a ridiculous amount of money to Republicans, Republican causes, Republican, and Donald Trump. And apparently, the January 6th insurrection was largely financed by one of these daughters. So, we stopped shopping at Publix in my household. A couple of years ago when she or this family or Publix or some combination of all of them basically financed the campaign against medical marijuana in the state of Florida, because Publix has pharmacies. And so this woman, I forget her first name, gave all this money, $100,000 to our governor, moron death sentence. And shortly after that, go figure, he goes into an exclusive arrangement with Publix that's the only place in certain counties that you can get the vaccine. So in Palm Beach County, for instance, just north of us here, they had this pilot program where you could only get the vaccine at Publix, at Publix stores with pharmacies, which is not even all of them, and certainly not in the more, poorer areas. So there's a big backlash and there's cries to boycott Publix and all this. And it's not only the family who are still the largest shareholders in Publix, but Publix Corporation itself has given much more in terms of donations to Republicans. I think there's a site called Goods Unite Us. I interviewed them at one point. And even they said, according to their site, Publix has contributed 86% to Republicans and I think it was like 4% to Democrats. I mean, it was ridiculously out of whack. So again, we don't shop there. We have a Whole Foods in the neighborhood, and that's where we do the bulk of our grocery shopping, or at Costco. And so that's where we are. So anyway, my pal, your pal, everyone's pal, Boca Brittany Summers, is a neighbor down here. She lives down the street, and Boca just sent me this new ad. We've got a new sponsor to the show. Who could it be, Boca? Who could it be now? Let's hear.
Here's this week's specials at Publix, where fascism is our pleasure. Everyone goes cuckoo over our insightful buy one, get one specials. This week's BOGO in our corruption department, buy one Republican, get the next one free. Save on eliminationist red meat in our insurrection section. In our baked fresh daily bakery department, for our village's customers only. Save on Metamucil pie. For customers who support the Publix governor's vehicular manslaughter bill, in-store parking is now available. Subsidized domestic terrorism in our produce department. This week, save on peat pits, $4.99 a pound. Now here's a special message to our customers from Publix CEO Todd Jones.
Uh-oh.
The violence at the Capitol on January 6th was a national tragedy and does not reflect our views and opinions of spigs, fags, cocks, or coloreds.
All righty then. Okay, so there's Boca for you. All right, a phone call came in. I don't know who this is. Somebody calling from the San Diego area, 619 area code. Hi, who's this?
Hello. Listen, I just wanted to say that what happened on January 6th was odious and wrong.
Who are you?
And Marjorie Taylor Greene is an asshole.
Yeah, who are you?
Listen. I'm not revealing. Listen, you know who I am. I just wanted to say that because I am tired of these people assuming that just because I'm a Republican that I support this kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, she's in your party. Marjorie Taylor Greene is in your party. So, and if your party won't disavow her, then she is the face of your Republican Party.
Well, I'm disavowing her now. It's disgusting.
But that's not good enough. Where's Kevin McCarthy? Where's Donald Trump, who is still the titular head of the Republican Party? And he loves Marjorie Taylor Greene. He said it over and over and over again. She is the face of today's Republican Party. You're still a Republican?
Yeah.
So you're a fucking moron. Bye now. Sorry. I mean, it's that simple. She is a horrific piece of human excrement. And if he says my party won't disavow her, Kevin McCarthy won't strip her of her committee positions. They did with Steve. What's his face? You know who I'm talking about from Iowa, Steve, whatever his name is, because he said racist shit and they stripped him of his committee assignments. So what is their problem? And if you can't disavow her, And I'm not saying you, individual Republican. And I know a lot of Republicans have renounced their party membership. They are no longer identifying as Republicans because the party won't get behind her. Steve, what?
King.
Wow. Steve King. I, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So
what about the legitimate rape guy?
Legitimate rape guy. Oh, right. All of them. Right. So if they can't get rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene, what, because they're afraid because Donald Trump loves her? Your party is being held hostage. And if you won't disavow her, then what good are you? If you still identify as a Republican, this is on you, too, because your party, these were your people who went to the Capitol, killed this cop, Sitnik, who, you know, they had a lovely, by the way, a lovely ceremony for him last night. And then another one today. CNN carried it last night. MSNBC carried it last night. Fox, not news, did not carry it. Yes, the party that embraces the blue line, Blue Lives Matter, didn't carry the memorial. The honoring of this Capitol police officer who had his head smashed in by Republicans in the name of Donald Trump as they were trying to overthrow the government at the Capitol, and they smashed in his head and crushed his skull with a fire extinguisher. Fox couldn't be troubled to carry the ceremony where he lay in honor in the Capitol Rotunda. He didn't lay in state because that's only for government heads. He laid in honor at the Capitol Rotunda, a high honor, and Fox didn't even fucking cover it. If you're still a Republican after that, this is on you. Wear it proudly. Oh, because the Proud Boys are your, you know, they're your flag holders. By the way, Canada today declared the Proud Boys a terrorist group, along with Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and what's Al-Shabaab, the Proud Boys, who were the founders from Canada. And Canada has no problem calling them a terrorist group. Where is the Republican Party today? What is wrong with you people? By the way, there is some breaking news a few hours ago. Majority Leader, yes, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell have finally reached a deal on the organizing resolution for running a 50-50 Senate. Schumer announced from the Senate floor, we will pass the resolution through the Senate today, which means that committees can promptly set up and get to work with Democrats holding the gavels. Yeah, it's about time. Because why is that, Mitch McConnell? Why do the Democrats get to hold the gavel?
You know, you can't win them all, and elections have consequences.
Yeah, they do. They do. Elections have consequences. So finally, the deal comes after the Senate has been stuck in this very weird limbo since January 20th, the day the Democrats took over the chamber's majority. Allegedly. Well, now, finally, it's done. There's only one thing left to do, and that's get Marjorie Taylor Greene the fuck out of there. And then, you know, have Lauren Boebert and Madison Caulfield. Oh, shit. All right. I didn't want to take a call now. Hi, Tamara. Make it quick because I got stuff I need to do.
Well, 125,000 Americans had to sign a petition to make Canada call Proud Boys a terrorist organization.
Okay, but at least they did it.
125,000 of us on just one petition.
Good for them. What are we doing?
They won't do it here.
Well, of course not.
We can't. We've sent them the same petition, and they won't call. They won't call Americans a terrorist organization.
Wow. Well, they are. I'll say it. Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, or whatever they call themselves. These neo-Nazi groups. They're all terrorists. They are domestic terrorists. Thank you, Tamara. They are. So I don't know what else needs to be said. All right. So there. That's what I was pissed off about. And yeah, that was our friend from San Diego. I should have known when I saw the 619 area code. All right. So I gave you the latest news. I got the Marjorie Taylor Greene. I got the Senate, and Canada labels the Proud Boys a terrorist group. Yeah, as it should be. All right. I told you we have Sandy Shellis coming up, Environmental Coffee House founder, creator, host. And I've been saving a song for her. So we'll use this as a kind of an intro for today. You know, we love the Founder Sing around here. Well, Founder Sing, a couple of days ago, came out with a new song. And it's one of their originals. It's not a parody of anything, but it is quite good. And it features, in case you are not watching on video, what Founder Sing does is they do the deep fake videos. And so in this case, the singers are Greta Thunberg and Leonardo DiCaprio. And the song is Are You With Me? It's the climate song. So and then we'll talk with Sandy Shellis. So don't go away. Here's a little tune for our planet. Take it away, Greta and Leo. Go for it.
There's a polar bear stranded in the Arctic Sea. Water getting hotter by another degree. Permafrost disappearing permanently. Oh, say we didn't wait till it's too late.
Pretty little village on a mountain top. Neighbors doing favors, giving all they got. Now there's nothing left cause it burns so hot. I'll say the time is now to turn it around. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
The planet's in our hands. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
We got one last chance. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Cause I'm taking this day. Together we can, I know we can. Are you with me?
Are you with me? Are you with me?
One more rainforest growing up in flames. Another species, fossil pieces, for we know their names.
Plant a couple trees, but it's never the same. Oh, say we hear their cries in the smoky skies. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
The planet's in our hands. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
We got one last chance. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Cause I'm taking this stand. Together we can, I know we can. Are you with me,
children? We will leave this world to you. To you. So let's start building a place where you can breathe free. We'll rewrite our destiny. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
The planet's in our hands.
Are you with me?
Are you with me?
We got one last chance. Are you with me?
Are you with me?
Cause I'm taking this stand. Together we can, I know we can. Are you with me?
Founder Sing. That is Leonardo DiCaprio and Greta Thunberg. And now, I feel like I should have an intro, and I don't. If I was allowed to play, like, real music, I would play, like, Four Seasons in One Day from Crowded House, just because, you know, climate changing, going nuts, and that's sort of where we are. Anyway, I'm thrilled to welcome to the show Sandy Shellis. She is the founder and creator of the Environmental Coffee House. That the home base is on Facebook, but you can find it on YouTube and everywhere else. I've got the it's facebook.com/environmentalcoffeehouse. Easy enough to find it. And well, Sandy, welcome to the show. Oh, you, hold on, you're muted. We gotta unmute you. Hold on. You need to unmute you. You see where it's your mic?
I unmuted it.
Yay. Okay. So, hey, Sandy.
Are we good?
We are good. We're live.
Hi.
We're there.
I'm not used to being on this end. I'm used to being the interviewer, as I had you on my show, and it was great. So I'm a little nervous, actually, being the in the hot seat, so to speak. But this is really cool. Well, and I see a lot of people I know in the chat, but I'm not going to look at the chat.
Okay.
It's between you and me.
So let's start by telling us about the Environmental Coffee House and how it came to be and what it started as and what it's grown into.
Well, I was a big Bernie supporter.
Yeah, me too.
And I started out on this Bernie page and somebody said, "Gee, Sandy, why don't you help us at this other group, Real Progressives?" And I honestly, I didn't know what a live stream was. So I did scheduling for their page and they were very, very Bernie. And then they went Jill.
Ooh.
But after I finally...
Jill, wait a minute. Jill, in 2016, you're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 2016.
Okay.
So I decided that because I was the climate change person or whatever they want to call it, I started doing live streams and then I started doing research and then I started really understanding what was going on besides what I had known from my university job, which actually was in HR, but I was over these, you know, principal investigators. So I knew what was going on in certain areas, but not altogether. Well, as it went on, I founded the page, which has grown to 15,000 followers. And, 15,000 followers, and
that's great.
The YouTube, yeah, it's cool. We actually have articles 24. We're around the clock page, and the team does. They schedule. I think I'm a little taller than you. The team schedules all of those things. I have a team that will help with the articles and all that, and then I started doing YouTube, and it's just gone from there as I'm a commentator. But I say that Environmental Coffee House is all things under the environmental umbrella because mm-hmm. we cover a lot and there is a lot. And we are not just, I mean, we've been called doomers. We've been called activists, whatever you call it. We cover it.
Right.
We
so, so how many, what, how often do you do a live show? How often are you on doing a YouTube video?
Well, when I'm feeling good, it's Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And Sunday night, I do a show with Jennifer Hines, and she is she's a researcher on methane, actually. And we usually do shows revolving around the Arctic and the melting ice. And then we also have meteorologist Nicholas Humphrey and Antonio Reed, who is a brilliant, brilliant person. He's writing his institution at Appalachia University's their plan for mitigating or getting rid of fossil fuels on the school. I mean, he's brilliant. He's a researcher. Also, we do shows with him. The last show we did was on sea level rise, and so that's a team. And we have a new person that comes on with us, and that's Jim Massa. He has a channel called Science Talk with Jim Massa, mm-hmm. and he's in Alaska. He's an oceanographer. So I rather promote them. It's not really about me. It's about the people that I have with me because they have very important voices. I'm just the vehicle. I just created it.
Right. And then you brought everybody together. Don't cut yourself short here. You did you did this. You created this and turned it into a place. And for somebody who just asked in the chat room, is her show on YouTube? Yes. So on YouTube, it's also Environmental Coffee House. Mm-hmm. I will put links on the blog today where I post the show and the videos that I play. You know the drill, right? It's NicoleSandler.com/ and then the date. So it's 2-3-21. That's the format we use. So that's how the shows are always posted. And I'll put all the information where you can find Sandy and the Environmental Coffee House.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So Tuesday, Thursday, and Sundays, usually. So now when, when I, you know, I'm watching how Joe Biden was, you know, putting, it seems like every day, it's sort of like infrastructure week, but each day it's something and it, that really happens, not just something that they're talking about. And so the first day he got us back into the Paris Climate Accord, as I said, on the eighth day, it was 1 week ago today, the 27th of January. It was basically Climate Day. And he did a few things. He signed a few executive orders. But I guess he waited for that day until he had announced his appointments, his cabinet staff and other special appointees who would deal with climate change. So overall, and we're going to go through those picks, Sandy. So overall, it's a pretty impressive group of people he's put together, you think?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I do. And I understand the reasoning behind the picks. And that's the most important, because when I first saw Jennifer Granholm for Department of Energy, I thought, what? You know,
that one confused me, too. For one second, though, under Obama, it was Ernest Moniz, who was like this nuclear scientist. And I always thought, well, that's the perfect person for Secretary of Energy. Except then I learned of his ties to the fossil fuel industry. However, he's still better than Rick Perry, who was who Trump had in there for you. Rick Perry, who didn't even know. Remember in the debate when he, the three departments he'd eliminate, education, something, and the third one, I forgot. And the one he forgot was energy. Great.
Rick Know-Nothing Perry.
Right. So in that context, I thought, all right, Jennifer Granholm is great. Former governor of Michigan, smart woman, but Secretary of Energy. So why do you know, Sandy, that Jennifer Granholm was picked?
Because of Detroit car culture.
Because
she was... she went through the auto industry's financial crisis, the whole crisis back in, I guess, the Obama time. And so because she has experience, she's an attorney, she has experience in working with the auto industry. A big cornerstone of the Biden administration is migrating over to electric vehicles, which Jennifer is going to spearhead, and that's what they're calling energy. You know, the energy department is a big department. It's got a lot. It's got the nuclear regulatory
everything
under it. There's a lot under there that she needs to really be. I hope she has her education on this, but we all know if Rick Perry did it, she's going to do a much better job.
Well, we don't know what Rick Perry did. For all I know, he went into the office every day and twiddled his thumbs and said, what's the third thing? Oops. I didn't know.
Well, under energy, there are all, don't forget, there's all the laboratories.
Right.
The federal laboratories under energy. And those laboratories are where a lot of things happening. They're working on developing non-fossil fuel materials to go forward. I mean, everything we have on is something with a fossil fuel. Even, you know, we're in a pandemic. And where are the shields from? They're oil based. Everything.
Yes, that's right.
Everything
is made out of, you know, the plastic cover on my cell phone. It's plastic and that's all oil. So so it's a big curve. Now, let me ask you this, Sandy, and I don't know if you know the answer, but I think, you know, anything you can do to stop burning gasoline in our cars, get rid of, combustion engines is a good thing, because you're not burning stuff and sending the shit out into the atmosphere. Electric cars do run cleaner. They don't burn fuel.
Absolutely.
However, the power that you get from plugging in your car overnight comes from somewhere. And I think most power plants in this country are still coal powered, aren't they?
Coal powered, but energy, solar and wind is taking
some of the
percentage of power on the grid. And there's, remember, there are, there's Niagara Falls, there's power that's generated by water.
Right.
I mean, it's not just coal, but the transition's going to be incredibly difficult. It's not going to be easy. Although John Kerry says, well, it could be very easy, but you know, when you see the pundits on the Fox or all of these right wing, they're just so against any change. And they don't understand that change is necessary, even if it's change that they're not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. So we'll see. It'll be an incrementally better at the beginning. And then once it gets going, it will be much better, because hopefully by then, more of the power plants will be powered by hydroelectricity or wind or solar and renewables, right, rather than coal. And we're moving in the right direction. All right, Sandy. So you mentioned John Kerry. John Kerry, former senator, former secretary of state, former Democratic presidential nominee who lost to George W. Bush. Where does he fit in?
He fits in because John is, well, he was what? National Security Advisor.
Well, no, he was Secretary of State. Secretary of State.
Yeah. Yep. And he's got the, well, as Biden said, he brought his friend in. His friend is retired. Friend has knowledge. He's a big climate champion,
right,
climate change champion. And he has been working with Bernie Sanders and AOC and the green crowd, you know, the green energy crowd.
Right.
And he is a proponent of working with in Paris. He's going to go to Paris. He would like to change the agreement. He understands that the Paris climate change agreement is lacking, very lacking, because they're talking about 1.5 C temperature change. And we're already at 1.3, and that is in the atmosphere. That's the heat in the atmosphere.
Right, right.
And then there's the parts per million of carbon that's in the atmosphere, which is already 430 parts per million in the atmosphere. So Kerry is very well versed.
Right, and Kerry Biden appointed him as the first United States special presidential envoy for climate. So he created this new position for him. And that's, as you know, as former Secretary of State, John Kerry does have bona fides around the world. So he can go talk to world leaders, and he will take on the role of special presidential envoy for climate. That's a big deal that there's somebody even appointed to be in that position. By the way, we should also mention that one of the other things that Biden did in this during these last 2 weeks is he elevated the Office of Science and Innovation or something to a cabinet level position. By the way, that position, the director of that Office of Science and Technology, was vacant under Trump for the last 18 months. So
so many others,
right? Not only did Biden fill it, but he elevated it to cabinet level. So obviously science is back. Thank God.
Science is back.
Right.
And I do believe that the Biden administration is completely conferring with scientists. Like I had mentioned to you, Michael Mann, I think, is definitely conferring with them, because he is completely desirous of ending fossil fuels and the subsidies, which are absolutely ridiculous. And I believe that President Biden said $40 billion in subsidies to the fossil fuel industry.
Wow.
And of course, they can afford to lose it. And as I said before, these leases, the oil and gas leases, these are on federal lands. These are anything new. It's a moratorium.
Well, let's back up on this. Let me ask you, because the other day I read an article in a fossil fuel industry website newsletter that said that Biden approved 30 new oil leases. That's what it said. David, if you're listening, because my husband is the one who sent me that article. David, if you have it handy, send it to me again.
Yeah, so I don't have it. I didn't see it. But if he approved something, it might have been because it was already in the works.
Uh-huh.
And that he may not, but I don't know about that. I know that in California, I know that the Governor Newsom of California has upset a lot of environmentalists because he approved oil and gas leases.
Well, and you know, now there's a recall effort on to recall Gavin Newsom as governor. Yeah.
Of course, because he hasn't ended fracking in his state or even lessened it. I live in New York. There's a ban on fracking. It's not a permanent thing. I mean, in New York, what you will about Governor Cuomo, he stopped and the property like I live on is on Marcellus Shale.
Okay.
And I live in prime fracking land.
Oh,
and there are people in my county who would love the fracking moratorium to end in New York so we could be destroyed and my water of my well could be destroyed.
Wow.
But there's a lot of activists where I live, and we won against a pipeline called the Northern Access Pipeline. Did not come through.
Right.
And we won. That was a big win.
Gotcha. Okay, so you sent it to me. So David is here. Hold on, I got to find it now.
I don't know what article. I was going to look on my...
It's from, hold on, now it's going to take a minute for my email to start.
I didn't see
up.
It. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, but because it's from some weird site. Yes.
The website was called
Rig Zone. Rigzone.com. Rigzone?
It's an oil industry?
Yes.
No wonder why. Probably the media hasn't reported on it.
That's right.
And I do keep up with these things, but late I've been a little sidetracked on some other projects that I'm working on, so I didn't get that one.
Okay, well, I'm gonna find this for you. I'm on Rig Zone
all right
now, but
you find it for me and you can send it to me.
I
certainly will look at it, but I don't have information specifically on that. My guess is if he approved them, they were already there,
right?
And he probably couldn't back out. You know, the litigation, Nicole, is already starting. It's already, you know, ridiculous. It's going to take so long, and it's going to be very intricate to undo what the Trump administration did.
On a lot of fronts. Apparently,
fronts.
what Joe Biden has been doing with these executive orders, he said something very important yesterday when he was signing. Because the Republicans are now criticizing him after Donald Trump's litany of executive orders, they're criticizing Joe Biden. And Joe Biden made a very, very important comment. Here's what he said.
Make it clear. There's a lot of talk with good reason about the number of executive orders that I've signed. I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy.
I'm not making new law. I'm eliminating bad policy. And there you go. That's the difference. That's a big difference. Okay. So here's now I finally have the article. Dated January 27th, so a week ago today. Headline, Biden administration issues 30 plus drilling permits.
On federal land.
Let's see. The Biden administration has issued at least 31 new drilling permits authorizing operations on federal land and coastal waters, despite an order putting political appointees in charge of the decisions.
I really have to look into this, Nicole. Honestly, I really don't have the information on this.
All right. I'm going to send you this article. I'll post it in the chat room. I'll put it on my blog.
Thanks. And
so everybody can look at it, because this is of concern. We'll just say that.
It is of concern. I will use this for tomorrow night's show, because tomorrow night on my channel, I'm going to go further into this whole topic.
Okay, cool. I put it there. I'm putting it in YouTube, and I'll put it on my blog as well. And I'll send it to you in a private message so we can do that.
Perfect.
But we're short on time. So let's move on a little bit.
Okay.
Joe Biden picked somebody else that I was thrilled to see as part of his team. And she is also not in a traditional role. But Gina McCarthy is now the first White House national climate advisor.
She was
under Obama EPA administrator. And
yes,
I don't know a whole lot about her, but every time she spoke, I was charmed. I just love her. I love her thick Boston accent. I love her attitude and her energy. And she's funny and she's smart. Because of all those reasons, I love her. Now, do I love her? Is she good in the right areas?
she can hold her own. She was grilled really badly by Chavez, Jason Chavez from Utah.
Yeah.
Back in the day when they were having the congressional hearings over Michigan, over Flint, and why the EPA, where was the EPA? It was a controversy because Flint was a mess and the EPA was not as involved at that time as it should have been. But she did the best she could. And I think that because of her experience with the EPA, the pick for her to be in with John Kerry in this, we'll find that there it will reap some benefits.
I think so.
Because she knows her way around and she's committed to the climate change arena, you know, making this happen, making these things happen in the United States. Whether I agree with all of it or not, you know, it is immaterial. Right. There are some things I don't, of course, and I talk about those things on my channel. But she'll be an interesting one for sure. And I again, the EPA, that's not an easy agency either. That's got, right. I think, 50,000 employees. So it's got a lot of employees. There's a lot of tentacles in all these agencies. And I wonder what has happened under Trump. I think a lot of inertia.
Yeah.
You know, inertia.
And a lot of, you know, trying to turn back the progress that we've already made. You know, he did away with car standards, which and all the car. I mean, General Motors came out the other day and said we are on our own timeline by, I think they said 2035. We're going to be all electric vehicles. They're phasing out.
They see the writing on the wall.
They do. They know. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure we talk about the new Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland.
Yes, absolutely. She is probably the most exciting pick. I'm thrilled for her. She, as the Department of Interior, the Bureau of Land Management, she has a big job because there are a lot of things that happen, like specifically like in Utah with Bears Ears and the millions of acres of land that the Trump administration took off. Let's see my notes here. Took off the rolls. What was it? And put 550,000 acres were auctioned off. And that was in Australia, but the Arctic. Sorry.
Okay. Well, still.
But the Bears Ears was a big deal. It was a big deal.
Right.
But she's got to deal with all of these oil and gas leases, which are going to be difficult to change because once they're they were smart. Trump was smart at the end. You know, he was smart. They just rammed everything through and they have a packed Supreme Court. They have Trump judges on everything and everything's going to be litigated. So what she does is she's got an uphill climb to get to undo, but she can also do so much good for the Native American communities. She's a role model and she is just someone that I think we need to watch. And I will be watching what she does with the Bureau of Land Management. And may I say one thing, Nicole?
Yeah, of course.
Everybody, if you want change, the Federal Register is where you go for public comments on any of these federal issues that have to do with land management. There is a public comment section. You can become part of the Federal Register to make comments. There's a process and you have a voice. And all of these proposals, they read the public comments. They know what the public wants. And I know this because of the Northern Access Pipeline fight, because we were writing it and we were writing to the New York State Department of Environmental Regulation. So it's similar. But if you want to have your voice heard, use the Federal Register.
So how do you get there? Where is it?
It's online. It's just I don't have the.
Just
the,
Google the, Federal will, Register?
Yeah, the Federal Register. Everything that is proposed, these proposals have a public comment section. And then after it closes, it's reviewed and then the decisions go from there. So it's not always just, you know, what these politicians want. You know, there are some voices. You can have a little power if you feel like you need some. So
here it is. It's federalregister.gov. It's that easy.
That's it.
You can do a document search. You can look at current issues, public inspection using federalregister.gov. It has all the information, presidential documents. I guess everything is there. And then there's also an archives area. Cool. This could keep somebody busy for a while, I guess.
Yeah. The Bureau and the BLM also has their page on statistical data. You can see all of the lands that are affected, the public lands that are affected by leases, where they are, how many, the length of time. So there's a lot of information to go through for this kind of activism. One would say.
Yes. And it has, I'm looking at it now.
Arena.
And so there's an index, explore agencies, and you can go, it goes down the line, agriculture department, commerce, defense, education, energy. Yep. Funny, you know, like defense has nine, I guess there are nine topics. Education has five, energy has 44.
A lot.
Then there's EPA, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security. So this is the place. This is
this
a great
is
resource.
Place.
Thank you, Sandy. I didn't even know it was there.
It is a great resource. It is a great resource. And, you know, people often say, well, we have no power. You can, in that vein, you can feel like you're making a little tiny bit of a difference. But the voting booth, of course, is where you try to make the difference in your local area.
Well, of course.
Local. It change trickles up. And if we don't take care of our own backyards, nobody's going to do it for us.
No, you're absolutely right.
We'll lose it.
So this is one way to, you know, get at least to have your voice heard. You know, people sign petitions, online petitions all the time. This is one of my biggest peeves. I mean, Tamara called in before. Maybe in Canada, it's a different process. And maybe and under Obama, there was a thing that if a petition, an official petition at whitehouse.gov got so many signatures that they would address it. At least they'd acknowledge it. When you get these petitions emailed to you and you say, that's just a way for people to collect your email address. They don't do
they
anything. Don't feel like you're sitting home signing. Right. That you're making a difference. But in this case, you can go on there. I know the FCC.gov, for instance, they do look at the public comments. So that's where you can register your approval or disapproval of things. It's one way to do it, at least, to have your voice heard.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
and go ahead.
No, you go. What? Yes, go on. Yeah, we've got like two minutes left.
I was just going to mention that the there's a lot of other things that under her purview, the they made a lot of changes that are going to be hard to reverse for Biden, which National Environmental, the NEPA, Environmental Policy Act, and the Clean Water Act, don't forget. And even the sage-grouse protections. All these things are under the purview of Deb Haaland.
Wow.
So it's going to be very interesting.
She's great. And now, you know, there's going to be a special election to fill her seat in Congress. She is in a very blue district, so there's no worries there. And I know, actually heard from one of the women who's running for that seat, that hopefully she'll come on the show. She's in the state legislature, and they're in session now. So so we'll get her on the show to talk about, you know, her race. But Deb Haaland, that's exciting. The first Native American in the federal government. There's something really wrong with that, but at least
very wrong.
It's a step in the right direction.
Maybe President Haaland someday.
Someday. She's not ready yet.
There's Michael Regan and from North Carolina. And I'm to see what's happening, what's going to happen with the EPA. That's also very important. See, and all these agencies now, I see the big picture between the EPA and its Secretary of the Interior and Granholm and even Pete Buttigieg in transportation. There's all, the bottom line is all going to be for the changeover, which we may not see in our lives, Nicole, the big changeover, but a Pete Buttigieg, I believe it's because he's young and he can work with the younger people to have these changes made, whether I agree or not. This is just what I see, you know, happening, that the ties together.
Gotcha.
And why these picks were made.
Well, and I think Pete Buttigieg, because he dropped out of the race to make way for Biden to get the nomination.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, that's why he's in the cabinet, and my opinion. But It is what it is.
Well, that's part of it.
No, that's a big part of it. All right. We're at the end of the hour. So Sandy Shellis, find her at Environmental Coffee House on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, you're Blue Ocean Arctic.
I'm Environmental Coffee House.
Oh, you're Environmental Coffee House on Twitter too. Okay. Yeah. You've got a million screen names. You've got all these accounts. I don't know how you keep up with them. Tomorrow on the program, busy day, Howie Klein will be here because it's Thursday. But also we're going to talk to two of my fellow Florida activists about this legislation that they're trying to push through against protesting, basically making it a crime to protest. So we're going to deal with that because this is a big one and it's happening all over the country. Sandy, thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening.
You,
we'll see you tomorrow and we'll see you tomorrow night on the Environmental Coffee House. Bye, everyone.
Peace out.